This is Sound the Shofar on Warn Radio. It is Shabbat and time for fellowship, the Word of God and rest. Join us now as we enter into Sound the Shofar on the Watchman Alert Radio Network. Welcome.
Greetings and welcome to Sound the Shofar with the Watchman and Tower. Here is a clue to tonight's study. Hebrews, Revelation of His Son, Part 9, Concluding Things. Paul's letter to the Hebrews is coming to an end with an exhortation to the readers. It was time for them to understand the directives given. Stay tuned for more on this later. It is Friday, the 20th day of July, 2018, and we are glad you joined us. I am Tower, and this is Warn Radio, bringing you the truth of Jesus Christ and the Word of God. The readings in the Word this week are found in Deuteronomy, starting at chapter 1, verse 1, through chapter 3, verse 22, Isaiah chapter 1, verses 1 through 27, and the New Testament portion is John chapter 4, verse 1 through chapter 5, verse 47. You can go to warn-usa.com, danaglennsmith.com, or gethealthyyoungliving.com to read the latest articles by The Watchman and listen to the shows. The featured posts this week by The Watchman are Christian Nonconformity in the World, All Things in Christ Jesus, Christian Nonconformity in the World. This is the beginning and ending of all things in Christ Jesus. The flood was finished. Everything was now swept away in this judgment except Noah, the ark, and the animals, and Noah's family. Also, Behold Justice, Judgment, and Mercy. When He comes, all shall behold Him, and all that dwell on the earth shall wail because of Him. Mercy is given, but justice and judgment are rewarded. So go to warn-usa.com, danaglennsmith.com, or gethealthyyoungliving.com to listen to all the shows and read the featured post by The Watchman. You can follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/warnradio. We also have three Twitter accounts, hashtag WatchmanIS216, hashtag WarnRadio, or hashtag WGS_Watchman. On the show, part 9 of Hebrews Concluding Things. Hebrews chapter 13 wraps up this study with part 9, Concluding Things. All in all, exhortation and writings, there is a title, beginning, middle, and a concluding section. He had written it from Rome, and there are many valuable things said in the few remaining paragraphs. In the scripture, we find the meat of the exhortations and directives in the conclusion of the Gospels and epistles. And now I welcome in the Watchman for Sound the Shofar. Greetings, Dana. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing fine. How are you doing?
Doing great. What's going on in the world today? I don't even know. Maybe I don't care.
Well, you know, I don't. I get on the news and I look at it a little bit. I did that today, but I got off of it. This is Friday, and as far as I'm concerned, you know, all this hoopla and nonsense can stay somewhere else.
Yes, sir. I couldn't agree more.
So we're about the Word of God. We're about trusting the Lord. You know, we're about something other than what is represented in the news. And, you know, the bottom line of it is that in this country, as I was talking about last night, there's a lot of areas you can go, a lot of places where people, you know, they get away from the stress and the baloney going on. And, you know, this affects everybody in this country, and there's a few morons out there that...
More than a few, dear.
Yeah, that push hatred and violence towards their fellow Americans. And anybody that talks of taking over the presidency by getting rid of the president, as some of these leftists have done, are asking for more trouble than they care to even think. From nutty Maxine Waters to Schumer to Pelosi and many others. The bottom line of it is, if we don't ever come together as Americans and treat each other with civility, there is no way that this nation has a prayer. And I mean that. Not one prayer can save this country. And you might say that's harsh. Well, it is harsh because this country has rejected the Lord God. And I've been warning for over 20 years now about this. And right now we see some of the most horrendous division and hatred and ill will that a country can stand. And, you know, the next thing comes things you don't want to come.
Well, that's true.
And so I'm not going to be one of those. I mean, I'm not going to get involved in the news per se. We report and talk about important things, and I will continue writing, but I'm not going to fill my spirit with this unequivocal load of garbage that's out there. You can, if you want to, help yourself. I will be informed, but it will not fill me. That's for sure and for certain. And, you know, I just got other things that I intend to be doing. I intend to preach the Word of God. I intend to write the Word of God. We intend to publish the Word of God. And there's some other things we're looking at doing. But we do not intend to sit around and give Waters and others the time of day that they would like to have so they can do their baloney. And I mean, that's including the nuts in Hollywood and all the actors, and that's including Barack Obama and Michelle.
Yeah.
And that's including all of the 15 that today Breitbart had a thing. Over 15 million illegal aliens have been brought into this country that they're trying to register to vote. Illegal. Now remember,
yeah,
Barack Obama.
Right.
Barack Obama actually brought that up, if you remember.
Yeah, I do.
He said there's nothing in the Constitution that says you can't vote. So this is where the Democrats are pinning their hopes. So if they think that all these illegal immigrants are going to save their butt, you know, in this country, they've got another thing coming, because this country is going to be even more unrecognizable than it was before. There will be no other government that will take over for this republic that God has blessed, that will last as this one has lasted, or be blessed as this one has been blessed.
That's very true.
So, and you know, the thing of it is that the people that hear us, and the people that don't. And the message that I have and the word that I have is not for everybody. And you go believe what you want to believe. You go do what you want to do. I will preach the truth as God puts it in my bucket. Tower and I'll continue to share with you. But, you know, the bottom line of it is that even the Lord himself said, he that is wicked, let him be wicked still, and he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. You need to choose which one that is for you. And of course, there's a lot of Christians that consider themselves righteous that may disagree with some of the things. They have that right. But I'm not going to, you know, allow this, you know, and it's not even worth even, you know, I don't think we should be covering this in the news at all. I think if you have somebody that is stupid and is an idiot, and like, for instance, the way, what's her name treated Jeannie Pearl?
Yeah, Whoopi.
Whoopi Goldberg. We shouldn't give that, you know, 1 second.
That's right, of time.
Of time.
Yeah,
we shouldn't even mention Whoopi Goldberg. She's not even worth mentioning if you're going to act like that.
Yeah.
And there's a bunch of others, you know, a lot of others. Waters made the news, and I forgot what she was doing, but again, she was, oh yeah, she had protesters gathered along with her, and they were protesting this country, and they were burning flags in front of her office. Now, she represents the United States government. She is a representative, and she's burning the American flag.
Who is that?
Maxine Waters.
Oh, I don't know how come I missed that. That is, she should just be locked up in an insane asylum.
But, you know, hey, you know, if that flips your trigger, that shows us what's in your heart, lady.
Yeah.
And you will regret it. Your divisionary tactics and your moment of shining in the sun is vulgar. That's what you represent, somebody that's ugly and vulgar and wicked, and it's tiresome. That's why I don't listen to you, and I don't allow your stuff to even enter in. I reject it outright, and I reject you outright, and I reject the actions by a lot of these that are doing this. I mean, I reject it.
Yeah, they're horrible.
Yeah, they're horrible, and they're black and darkened, and you can, you know.
Black-hearted.
Yeah, black-hearted, absolutely. So, you know, the word civility is something they don't know.
Nope.
But, you know, God is good. And
Amen.
And like I said, there's places that are in this country, and I'm talking about there's a lot of natural wonders and things in this country that God has blessed us with, and we've had a good run. But right now, we are a nation that's being plundered by the devil and wickedness, and this ship is sinking quicker than you can shake a stick at it,
mm-hmm.
and all we can do is point fingers and yell and scream at one another. How sad.
Very.
So with that, I'm done with that. I'm not going to talk about it anymore.
Okay.
And I've learned, I was talking to someone else today, and we were talking on a subject, and finally I just said, I'm done. And Towers heard me do that before. I get to a point, I'm not going to say it anymore. I'm done with it. The topic's done. You want to talk about it, go somewhere else. But you ain't talking to me about it. And the thing of it is that God is good, and I look to Him, and He's blessed us. And we're not here to have the world's greatest ministry. We're here to be faithful and preach the Word of God, which is the greatest.
Amen.
See, and any time your preachers are greater than the Son of God and the Father and the Word of God, and that's and all you see is the preachers, then you got a problem, people. You got a problem, church. The church is subservient to the Lord. And we should be serving one another.
Amen.
Not worshiping preachers who are millionaire preachers flying around in expensive jets. And I'm done with that too. So at any rate, another week down.
Yes, sir, and one more weekend in July, anyway, after this.
Yep. So, at any rate, got a few things going on, but other than that, we got a, been hot around here, but.
Oh, man. That's all right. It's causing the vegetables to grow.
Yeah. So, at any rate, I'm going to get on this study.
Okay, I'll see you on the other side.
Okay. Okay, we're in Hebrews Revelation. We're in the 13th chapter. And the first thing that is said is, let brotherly love continue. And I find this absolutely amazing that in the concluding chapter, the first thing he says is, let brotherly love continue. And that means they had it. They have brotherly love, but they're supposed to let that continue. And in verse 2, be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. And of course, that's gotten a lot of traction. And why Paul put that in there, unless he had some revelation that angels were mixed among the church at that time. This is the early church. And of course, there's a lot of people that use this today that do talk about it, that there are angels that are walking among us, and they are there as a test, just to, for instance, one time I was in front of my office. I used to have an office downtown, and I would go to work early, 7:30 or so. And I would walk up to my office, and there was never anything unsuspecting. But in my office, I had some clothes, I had some food, I had water, I had things in there that I put there on purpose. And they were there to be able to give to people that I ran across on the street. And early in the morning, as I was walking, I seen someone. He was quite a ways away from me, and he was on the other side of the street. And so as I was walking, he kept his eye on me, and I saw him watching me. And, like he knew who I was. And all of a sudden, he crossed the street, and I kept walking. Pretty soon he caught up with me, and he said, "Mister, do you got some food and some, I need help." I'd never seen him around there before. So I said, "Just a minute." So I brought him into the office, and I said, "Well, I don't have a lot, but I do have this." I did happen to have it was kind of in the fall. Maybe it was in the spring. It was kind of chilly, and I said, and you could tell he looked like a street person. And I said, "Would you like a new coat?" And it was brand new, fairly new. And he said, "Sure." So I gave him the coat, and I had a few other things, I had food bars and other things in there, and I gave him a bunch of that, and I gave him a couple of things of fresh sealed water, and then I took out my wallet, and I don't carry much cash, and I grabbed what I had and gave it to him, and I said, "There you go, that's all I can do for you." But we do have a regular place where these people can go in town. And I always tell these people that there is a place over yonder that you can go that will give you food and everything. And I've done that before, and I've actually come in the middle of the winter. There was somebody that I went out and was trying to help. And I told him where he could go. I said, "You don't have to stand here in the snow. They've got a place for you to go stay, sleep, and have hot food." And I said, and I told him where it was. And he says, "Oh, no, I ain't going there. They're full of the devil." And he was just adamant. And he was just kind of nasty after that. And so I went back inside, and he stood there in the snow. He wouldn't move. You couldn't, you know, you couldn't do much for him. And, you know, he's calling people, you know, of the devil that were going to give him food. And so he definitely had a problem. And there are some people that don't want to get off that. But oh, I said all that to tell you that you never know that some of the ones that you're talking to are actually angels sent. And they're sent there to as a test to see how you will react. And also, they act to give you focus. And so you have this in two verses. You have, let brotherly love continue, and don't forget to entertain strangers. And so the love goes with the strangers. We should have love, not just for the brethren, but for all. And try to help them if they need help. Then he goes on to say, remember them that are in bonds as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity as being yourselves also in the body. Now see, this is where the brotherly love comes in at, because he's telling you what he's talking about. Number one, whoever you come across, have love for them, and you know, and see what you can do to help them in love. Remember those that are in bonds. That's you'll be motivated by love for the brethren because you're concerned for them. So you pray for them as though you're bound with them. And we try to make this a point on our show on Wednesday nights. And them which suffer adversity, there's people that suffer adversity, like those caught in various natural disasters and things. And of course, there was the time ISIS moved through the Middle East. That's a real adversity. And, of course, you know, that took up a lot of time in that whole thing to try to cover ISIS and try to, you know, the bodies of believers that were actually, you know, trying to help, you know. You did have ministries that were trying to do something, but when ISIS was going through, nobody could do anything except watch because it was war. And then verse 4, he says, marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers will judge. Now see, he puts this in there too, and you might think this is out of place, but see, he's summing things up. See, and this is the thing that you found in the Roman Empire, that marriage is honorable, and the bed is undefiled before God. God said that there would be a man and a woman. But there's those who are whoremongers, those who are adulterers, and those who are fornicators, and a lot other things. And he's letting them know that in spite of what you may think, that God will judge these kind of things as well as others. And so, you know, this is like putting something on top of, you know, this is the salt on top of your meal. This is the sugar that you might put in your tea. This is just that little extra appetizer from the apostle to tell you that, you know, beware. God will judge, and he will find out. And he goes on to say, let your conversation or your lifestyle be without covetousness, and be content with such thing as you have. For he said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Now, you see, right now, when we deal in a hedonistic society like America or the UK or many other of the nations that out there, even the Muslim nations are hedonistic in their own ways. And you know, so you have, you know, don't put covetousness in your conversation. And that's not just talking about it, that's living it. That's your lifestyle. And you're to be content. See, and of course, Scripture does say godliness with contentment is great gain. And it says, seek first the kingdom of God, then all these things will be added unto you. It doesn't say to seek first the almighty dollar. It doesn't say to seek first, sell everything that you can sell and make as much as you can make. That's not what it says. You're to live in brotherly love. You're to look to others that come up to you. You're to pray for those who were in bonds. You're to live in a lifestyle conducive with the Word of God. You're not supposed to be an adulterer, fornicator, a whoremonger. You're not supposed to be filled with covetousness, and you're supposed to be content because, you know, you expect God to take care of you. And that's what the scripture says. The Lord said, seek first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. But you're not seeking first the kingdom of God if you're living in adultery, fornication, and you're full of covetousness, and you're a whoremonger, adulterer, any number of things. Now you can say, God, forgive me, and then so you get done repenting and you go right out and do it. So you say, God, forgive me again. You go out and you do it again. I mean, you know, when you do it once, it's a sin. When you do it continually, you become a sinner multiple times. But yet God is willing to forgive you, but there comes one point that he says, okay, enough's enough. He said that to Israel because they were saying the temple of the Lord. They kept bringing that up to the prophet. Anytime the prophet tried to tell him that judgment was coming, and they would say, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord. So the prophet said, you know, say not the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord. Then he goes on to tell him, do you think that I have created this temple, you know, for you to go on in and come in and seek forgiveness and then go back out and do the same thing again and come back in? That is an Old Testament scripture, by the way, of course. And that's what a lot of Christians think. Well, you know, I ask God to forgive me on Sunday. I can go sin like you know what. And, you know, Wednesday night's another church service. I'll enter in and ask him to forgive me. I mean, that's not the way it works. But see, he's doing some practical conclusions here. He's trying to give them some guidance to let them know. And of course, the Lord is my helper. In verse 7, he says, remember them that have rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation or their lifestyle. See, there's those who have rule over you. They shouldn't be doing these things either. And they give you the word of God, and faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And their end of their conversation is that they are following the word of God, hopefully and truthfully. And the next verse is, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. He has not changed. And he openly said that he was with the Father in the beginning, before Abraham was, I am, he said. And he said that he rejoiced to see his day. And the Jews said, you mean you're older than he is? Well, they didn't understand. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, the physical body, of course, was just born, but the spirit within the body, the soul, who is the Lord, the Son of Almighty God, that is who entered into that body. And of course, this is the thing when we talk about God incarnate. And he says, be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats, which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. And of course, we have a lot of strange and divers doctrines. And, you know, there's only one doctrine that matters, and that's the doctrine of Jesus Christ. For we come to him, and it's through God's grace, born out of his mercy, which came out of his love. And so we believe him because we have faith, thus believing. And so we are accepted in this, and his grace or favor follows us. And so, no, get away from the strange and diverse doctrines. But see, Americans have a propensity to follow anything, especially Eastern religions. We don't want an Eastern religion. We don't want foreign gods. We want the true and living God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the great and mighty and most revered God, even our Father, Yahweh, who gave us of his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, the only begotten Son of God. Amen and amen. We don't want any others. He says, we have an altar whereof they have no right to eat, which serve the tabernacle. See, because they weren't born again. They were in the tabernacle, but they weren't born again like we are. They didn't come forward in faith. Christ hadn't been come to the cross yet. And he says further, and he's actually going over some of the stuff that he taught previously in Hebrews. For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. And he says, wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. He was on the hill of Golgotha. Let us go forth, therefore, unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach, for there we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. Anytime you look to the cross in this day and age as his children living in this current world, we don't have a continuing city, an enduring city, which is Zion, which is the New Jerusalem. But we seek one to come. When Abraham went out, it is said that he went out looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. And that's us too. We're looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. And he's exhorting the Hebrews here, their hope. He's exhorting them about purification, about how they ought to be walking, about their faith, about who they believe in, about sticking to the main thing, which is the grace of God and the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so this is very important, these things that he is talking about. Let us go forth, which we have, if you've accepted the Lord. And we have no continuing city. And see, this is really where we're at today. We are waiting for him to come back so we can be with him, so we can have this experience forever after in that city. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifices of God, a sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. And so whenever you don't feel good, whenever you're going through a bad time, praise God. Because that's the sacrifice of your lips. That is the sacrifice of praise. And it's really important because James talks about the tongue, talks about the lips, talks about the propensity to gossip and talk with this tongue. And it's important when you can use this tongue to praise God, then you're not doing things that are... If you're praising God, you're not going to be doing things with that tongue that are a sin. So, you know, it's important. It's important to be thankful to God. It's important to give sacrifice of praise to him. And... But to do good and communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. To do good and to communicate. And sometimes we have a problem communicating. But we are so divisive in this country today. We communicate, but it's wickedness. Obey them that have rule over you. Submit yourselves, for they watch over your souls. And as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. And of course, being a pastor is no easy task. Being a pastor that's going to preach the truth is no easy task. You can preach it, but sometimes, as they told us in Bible school, old Brother Davidson, Brother D, who had been a missionary and teaching the book of Acts, he said, preach with your bags packed. Because once you tell them what God wants you to tell them, they may ask you to leave. Amen. He says, pray for us, for we trust we have a good conscience and all things willing to live honestly. But I beseech you the rather to do this, that I may be restored to you the sooner. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever.
And, you know, I love these conclusions within the Word of God, in these epistles, because a lot of times he goes through the standard teachings, and then when he gets down to the very end, you can see him putting in things that, well, you know, I need to cover this. I want to exhort him here. I want to remind him of this. And so when you go back and you look at this, you get a close look at, you know, he really did. The first thing he wants is talking about love. And love is that, you know, that is the golden rule. That is the golden law. If you walk in love, the law has nothing over love. Love fulfills the law completely. And the other thing, be not forgetful to entertain strangers, that is a little more on the exciting and mysterious side, thinking that when you're walking in this life, walking in your faith, that you have actually talked to people that weren't people at all, although they looked like people. They were actually angels who came down, and angels can appear in different ways. And we know the Lord himself, you know, after he was resurrected from the dead, some of them didn't even, you know, recognize him. On Road to Emmaus, they didn't recognize him until he opened up their hearts with the Word of God. And so, you know, when we talk about angelic and we talk about the body, like Christ's body, you know, I mean, he could appear in the midst of the apostles and then suddenly disappear. He disappeared on the road to Emmaus. You know, all of the apostles were gathered in the upper room. They had the door closed, and he appeared to them. And so, yet, we find him eating with them in this new body, even after his death. He still has he still had the scars. And he pointed out the fact that he wasn't a spirit, but that he had, you know, bones and flesh and everything. It was just a different kind of a body. And so when we talk about the body, when we talk about angels, there's a lot of things we may not understand. Is that, you know, a lot of times the movies will have things about angels, and under their clothes, all of a sudden their wings will appear. But when you get into the Bible, and even Abraham seeing, you know, having the Lord visit him, they didn't have wings on them. You don't see wings anywhere. They appeared as men, normal men. You couldn't tell them different. So there's a lot of things that we have a tendency to believe that comes out of history, comes out of a lot of our processes of fiction, things that we might think but not necessarily is the truth. And so there are angels, you know, the cherubim and the seraphim. There's others that do have wings, that we do have that in Scripture. But when we see them appear, we see men, and they do not have wings. So make no mistake, you would never know, you know, that who they are. You know, you wouldn't have a clue unless they told you, and then you wouldn't even believe them. And the other thing I think that is really, really important in this, and we talk about this a lot on our news show, remember them that are bound in bonds as bound with them. And see, we've been talking and exhorting everybody about Pastor Brunson, his wife Noreen, and the other Christians that are caught up in Erdogan's Turkey. He's trying to put together a caliphate. He's openly called for 59 Arab nations to attack Israel. And of course, we've reminded people of Asa Bibi in Pakistan and how she was in there. We've talked about a lot of them over the years. There was Americans that were in North Korea in prison. One of them was a young man who actually died when he came home. And of course, there was Abedini. He's another one in Iran that was caught up. And Iran still, I think they still do have Americans. There are others that have been missing for a long time. There was an old CIA agent that had retired and went there and disappeared. I think, can't remember his name, but that's been some time ago. So remembering those who were in bonds, though, that's specifically talking about your brothers and sisters in Christ. And so it's interesting because through the entire book, he doesn't talk about those that are in bonds. He doesn't talk about entertaining angels and marriage. If you want to talk about the different things when it comes to the sins, you get in Galatians because he lists them there. But in this one, he didn't necessarily get into all of that because he was talking to the Hebrews about the Messiah and convincing them how he had met all the aspects of the law and how the new covenant is a better covenant than the old one. That's really what this book is about and how you get to that point. And of course, the other thing he dealt with was let your conversation be without covetousness and to be content, which he didn't talk about at all. But, when we do talk about that, he does talk about those. He teaches on those that say that gain is godliness. And that is opposite of what the apostolic teaching is. But, you will find that taught in many churches, and we have had for many, many, many decades, folks. It's thoroughly wrapped up in our Christian culture today. Because, frankly, if the Christian culture in America had to go through what some of these believers are doing, you wouldn't have what you got in this country the way it is today. I mean, for the Christians. So, make no mistake, when we talk about things that are going on and the faith, a fire, the refining fire refines. It gets rid of all that stuff that's in your life. Gets rid of that. And that's why he mentions that in dealing with the Laodicean church. Now, another thing that he talked about, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say the Lord is my helper. Now, what did Abraham say? He actually put together an army and went after some kings who had taken Lot and his family captive. And Abraham would not take any of the spoil. He did catch up with them, released Lot. He would not take any of it, and he didn't want any of it because he didn't want anybody to say that they had made him rich, because he looked to the Lord. He said, "The Lord is my source." And see, we've got to understand who is your source today. Who is your real source? And that's who we have to look to. And sometimes we think, we need more of this or more of that, money. And of course, in America, that's we always, it's hard pressed to find an American that doesn't think they need more money. That's why we have all of these, giveaways, they've got several here in our neck of the woods, and you pick the numbers, and they call them out, and people win a lot of money. The bottom line of it is our source is the Lord. Our source is not casinos. It's not all this highfalutin stuff that the states have put together. I mean, if you figure it out. We buy all these tickets to get these things. I mean, we don't, I don't. But the reason the state uses it is because they make a ton of money. And then you wonder why people buy these things. Why do you buy stuff when 9 times out of 10 you're not going to win, but you're going to spend the money anyway? And the point of it is that they spend it because they hope to win. They think they will win, so they'll continue to take the chance. And that's how the local governments and the state governments manage to keep their things going. It's the same reason the casinos make a lot of money. It's rigged. It's rigged from the get-go. And I can tell you something about that, because I've researched a little bit of that, and I can tell you that there's no way you're going to win unless they want you to win. And that's just all there is to it. And see, we should not. You know, we as Christians, our source is the Lord, period. And, of course, if we don't believe that the Lord is the same yesterday, today, and forever, which is another point Paul makes, and we don't pay attention to the fact where he also warns right after that, don't be carried about with divers and strange doctrines. Well, see, there's a lot of doctrines, including Christian doctrines, that don't believe he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. They don't believe that he's connected to the Father. They don't believe in a Father and a Son. They believe that the Father is the Son, so to speak. One person, but there's two. You will find the Father and the Son, and they go back, and you can find it in the Old Testament, the Tanakh. But at any rate, so it's not hard to find people and churches that have kind of a different doctrine, strange doctrines. And Paul is leaving this as a little nugget in here. So these are the things that he didn't really, you know, he didn't cover, but these are things that are important to him. And that's why when you're reading Scripture, you pay particular two places. The beginning, because they will give a kind of a summary of what they're going to be talking about, usually. And then you have that ending, the conclusion, the very last chapter. In many times, they're especially prevalent in what Paul does. And then, of course, he talks about the altar, the tabernacle, and the blood, you know, the old covenant, which he did talk about and did cover extensively. But then he refers back to the Lord sanctifying the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Of course, you know, if you remember, the high priest and all the mucky-muck Pharisees wanted him taken down off the cross because they were getting ready to celebrate the high holy days and everything of Passover, and they didn't want him hanging up on a tree somewhere, and they didn't even want to kill him. They wanted to take him to the Romans and have the Romans kill him, because although when the Jews say, well, let's kill him, they plotted to kill him. They took him to somebody else to kill. They didn't even have guts enough to kill him themselves. But see, it didn't matter, because when he was taken, if you'll remember, the Roman authorities said, and he said that a couple times, I find no fault in him. And he even tried to get Barabbas released. And of course, the crowd wouldn't go for that. And he says, well, I wash my hands of his blood. And the crowd, egged on by the Jews, said, his blood be on our head. Well, that is prophecy in the making, because the Lord did warn when he was weeping over Jerusalem that your house was left unto you desolate. And it was the coming of Titus that blood was paid for, and the Lord said the blood would be required on this generation. And so they suffered because of it. And whenever we're talking about the blood, it's important to understand that God does not take the blood lightly. And if we take blood lightly, and I can tell you, those in ISIS who shed all that blood, they're going to be wailing throughout eternity, regretting what they had done. And they're going to be regretting that God that they thought they were serving. Hell is going to be full, unfortunately. And it doesn't have to be. I said that many times. Christ died on the cross, so you wouldn't have to. But he says, and you know, in the same thing, I've said this many times too, and I say it over and over again in hoping to get it through someone's thick head, because there's a lot of thick heads out there that don't want to listen. But then, you know, you can't. People are going to do what people want to do, and that's just all there is to it. And so, you know, he says, for we have no continuing city here. And I really identify with that. But we seek one to come. And I remember what Abraham said. He's looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. And I have a question of the Christians in this country, you know, and that is, what do you love the most? Do you love your home? And I know of Christians who do not want the Lord to come because they are so caught up and want to live their life here. They don't want him to come. Well, I want him to come. There's no reason for me to continue in this except to preach the gospel. I want to be in that kingdom. You know, this kingdom is not my hope. My hope is the Lord. I'm looking for that city whose builder and maker is God. I'm looking for Zion. I'm looking for the New Jerusalem. And what's more, I'm looking for the God of gods and the Almighty One, Jesus, who will light up the place. So that's why we need to give sacrifice to praise. And all in all, it's interesting to see how he gives a conclusion to this. And you can find the same kind of thing in other Pauline writings. He will almost always review. He will put important things. And the thing I really like in some of them, he will actually talk about some of his fellow workers and, you know, things like that, and it gives you an insight into their life and how they lived in the Roman Empire. It is very fascinating. You have to look into it, and really, you know, it's like that old saying, you need to read. And people say, well, I do read. But then 5 minutes later, you can't remember what you read, right? Yeah, that's the way it goes. Because in order to remember it, you know, even in class, when we're going to Bible school, they gave us a survival course before we ever got interested. It's a surviving college. Forgot the name of the title, but that's basically what it was. And, you have to take notes, and you have to listen. And if they can put stuff on the board, you can get it reinforced those ways, and you will remember it. And it's just like my Life of Christ teacher, Brother Day, Brother Davidson, Brother D, who is a doctor, of theology, but he was just brilliant. He was the one that actually taught me the basis of studying and how to get into certain things. And but there's things he couldn't teach me, and there's things Bible college can't teach you. There's things the minister can't teach you. It takes the Spirit of God, the Word of God, and you being faithful, and God will teach you. And God's a good teacher, because when he teaches you a lesson, I guarantee you, you'll remember it. You'll either remember it and be doing what he wants you to do, or you will be backslidden and trying to forget it. Father, we thank you for your blessing in your word. Bless this word to the hearts of your people. Lord, help them to understand each and every chapter, each and every verse, and bless them. In Jesus' name, and in Jesus' name I bind you, Satan, and the powers of darkness, from the preaching, teaching, streaming, and receiving of this word. Now, this segment, okay, Tower, this segment is a little bit short of our regular ones, and that is because I close out this teaching like this, because I do not want to enter into another teaching. It really messes up when I'm trying to get this thing all together that I have one program that has two separate teachings in it, and then you're trying to find it. But this is the conclusion of Hebrews. I love Hebrews. So you back, Tower?
I am.
So
yeah, it was a great conclusion.
I find a lot of times I said this already, but that there's a lot of meat in that conclusion.
Yeah, that's true.
And they're practical. They're not
They're not hard.
No,
it's not hard.
They're not theological. They are practical. Live your life for Jesus. You know, that's basically what it was. And he does that in almost all of his epistles. Now, there are things, Peter even said, Paul writes some things that are hard to understand, but Paul always made it a habit of going through some things. And I think you'll find some of the other apostles did the same thing. But, you know, I've done more digging out of stuff and writing about it from the conclusions.
Yeah.
So at any rate, we will have another study. Right now, I'm not sure what it is. I've got a number that we're thinking about. But I plan on doing another one pretty much like this. We hadn't done Hebrews, and I'm sure glad we did it. We've done.
Yeah, me too. I enjoyed it.
We did Romans. We did Acts. You know, I wanted to do a Life of Christ thing. I'm trying to figure out how it's actually a harmony of the Gospels. But it's really difficult to do. I took the my course was a harmony of the Gospels that I took. And when we were given a test, the tests were 500 to 600 questions, maybe even 700.
And pretty intense.
Yeah. But yeah, that's a test. I mean, it's not like 25 questions.
Yeah.
We're going to give you a pop quiz, okay? 25 questions? No, these are 600. A pop quiz? that's the way it was. But at any rate, we're going to have to get out of here.
Well, good night, everybody. Thank you for joining us. God bless you richly with his goodness and his peace. Thank you for all you do for him. God bless you.
Good night, everybody. We'll see you next week. We thank you for joining us today on WARN Radio, the Watchman Alert Radio Network. This is the Watchman, and for all of us here, shalom, everyone. See you again on the radio.